Well, it is good to be here again, and before we get started, I'm going to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for another opportunity to gather in thy name. We thank thee for another opportunity to worship thee. We thank thee for another opportunity to study thy word. We ask that thou wouldest be here with us today and help us every step of the way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now we still don't have our pianist, so I thought we'd still do a few choruses. There's no music, but we'll just sing and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The first chorus I'd like to go to is number 40 in the chorus book, Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Oh, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Praise the Lord. That was one of those choruses we used to sing all the time when I was a kid. A lot of memories of my dad singing that chorus. I like that one a lot. The next chorus I'd like to go to is number 47. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like thee. Make me come up higher till thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like thee. Make me come up higher till thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like thee. Make me come up higher till thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And the next chorus I'd like to go to is number 69. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. You took my sadness and you gave me gladness. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. Jesus, I love you, yes I do, I do. Jesus, I love you, yes I do, I do. You took my sadness and you gave me gladness. Oh Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. You took my sadness and you gave me gladness. Oh Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. Praise the Lord. Well, I think now we'll take up the collection, and I guess I'll do that. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes and these offerings. We ask that thou wilt bless the giver and those who are unable to give as well. We ask that this money would be used for thy will and that thou wouldst give us wisdom as to what to use it for. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And before we get into the word, I'd like to sing one more chorus, number 78, I'm sure. Most of you probably know this one by now. Keep on walking by faith. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Oh, keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord. Well, at this point, I guess we're ready to get into the Word, which is always a wonderful thing to do. I'm excited about that. And before I do that, I'd like to pray one more time. Father in heaven, I thank Thee, O Lord, that we are able to gather here in Thy name and to study Thy holy Word. I pray that thou wouldest give us ears to hear, hearts that would perceive and understand, and bless us and fill us with thy Spirit. Be with us here today, I pray, and help us to understand thy word as you give us understanding. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I'm going to call today's message, Reaching Out to Jesus. And our first portion of Scripture is going to be Mark chapter 5. This is a very exciting chapter in the Bible. There's a lot of things that happen. And one of the things I really like about this chapter is it reveals a lot about the personality of Jesus and the kindness and compassion he had for people. And this chapter starts out, they had just crossed over the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. So let's begin here in Mark chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. So the evil spirits in this man were so strong that they gave him physical strength too, and he could just break any chains that they tried to bind him with. As we'll see when we read on, he had a lot of evil spirits in him. And they can do horrible things to people, obviously. Verse 5. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Doesn't sound like a very happy man. And I know even today, there are a lot of teenagers and so forth who they suffer from depression. And what they do a lot of times is they'll cut themselves. And it's actually evil spirits that prompt them to do that. Verse 6 tells us, But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. So even though this man was full of evil spirits, he still had the self-will to run to Jesus, which is always a wonderful thing to do, something we should all do. You never go wrong running to Jesus. He wanted deliverance, that's why he did it. If that wasn't what he wanted, he probably would have ran the other way. But when he got to Jesus, it was the evil spirits who cried out. It says in verse 7, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Verse 8, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. A legion in the Roman army that was 2,000 soldiers. So this man, he had 2,000 evil spirits living inside him. That's hard to imagine, but that's what he had. And, a lot of people, once you get one, others come in, and the problem just gets compounded from there. Verse 10, and he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. So they wanted to go into the pigs because they wanted to stay in the area. They probably had grown accustomed to that area. They didn't want to leave. And verse 13, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And my dad used to say that was the first ever deviled ham. But this was quite a scene there. And first 2,000 pigs, they ran down a steep place and ran into the sea and were choked. that would definitely be quite a sight, and I'm sure it would be very nerve-wracking for everyone who saw it. And I'm sure the owners of the pigs, the swine there, they probably weren't very happy either. And verse 14 says, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They were scared. This man looked normal now. How could this happen? You know, obviously they wanted to restrict him. They kept trying to chain him up, but you know, that didn't work, and now he's got all those evil spirits cast out of him, and they're afraid, they're scared. Verse 16, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning this wine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. Wow, they really were scared. They said, please leave, we don't want you here. And verse 18, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He wanted to go with Jesus. Of course, that's a wonderful thing as well, but Jesus had another purpose for him. He would be a great witness in that land. The people that had known him in the past would know that he's completely different now and that Jesus had touched his life. Verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. That was a good thing to do, to tell thy friends the great things the Lord has done for you. Verse 20, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Praise the Lord. So that in and of itself is a wonderful story. It demonstrates perfectly how Jesus can deliver you from evil spirits that may be troubling you in your life. If you're possessed or just even oppressed, if they come at you and try to trouble you in other ways, then Jesus, he can deliver you from all of that. Praise the Lord. And we'll continue on with verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Oh, praise the Lord. So wonderful to fall at the feet of Jesus. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. That is great faith. That is wonderful faith that this man had. There was no doubt there. He said, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Praise the Lord. Verse 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. You know, I can definitely relate to this woman's predicament. She had an issue of blood for 12 years, and obviously that was must have been a horrible thing to deal with. But I remember, you know, when my dad was in the hospital, I couldn't believe it. It seemed like everything the doctors did just made him worse. And it was really hard to bear. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with him, and they kept trying different things, and everything they did just made him worse. And so obviously that's been an ongoing problem for a long time. And doctors have apparently been that way for thousands of years. I would much rather trust in the great physician. And of course he can use medical doctors, but it is Jesus who ultimately heals us. Praise the Lord. In verse 28, she says, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? There were people all over the place. There were people bumping into Jesus all over the place. Obviously, it was a large crowd, but when that woman reached out in faith and touched Jesus, he felt virtue go out from him. And that's what we have to do. We have to reach out to Jesus. It's only by reaching out to Jesus we will experience his power, his deliverance, and his salvation. That's what this woman did here, and she was healed immediately. And we can, wherever we are, at whatever point in time we may be at, we can reach out to Jesus. Verse 31, And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? You know, a lot of people bump into Jesus, even today. I think most people have heard of Jesus. They know the story. And a lot of people try to attribute things to him that don't belong. And a lot of people don't have a full understanding of Jesus. I know Barack Obama, when they interviewed him about his religious faith, he said that Jesus was a great teacher, but in the interview, he made no mention of Jesus being the Son of God. He made no mention of Jesus being the Savior. He's just bumped into Jesus. He hasn't reached out to him. And, you know, a lot of people, they're very confused. I've heard people say, you know, Jesus was a hippie, which is ridiculous, but those are people who have just bumped into Jesus. They haven't reached out. They haven't touched Jesus. Verse 32. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. That's another wonderful thing to do. Get down on your knees before Jesus and tell him all the truth. Verse 34. And he said unto her, Daughter. How wonderful that must have been. He called her daughter. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Praise the Lord. That woman went away that day, healed and delivered, because she reached out and she touched Jesus. Continue on in verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain which said, Thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? So they came and they told Jairus, Your daughter has died. So, you know, Jesus, he doesn't need to come anymore. But as we'll see, Jesus had another miracle in store. Verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Of course, the reason he did that is because when you're going to go and perform a miracle, you need to be surrounded by people who have faith. You don't want doubters standing in the way. In fact, as we'll see in the forthcoming verses, he cast all of those out. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth a tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. Now, what was happening there is it was customary at the time to have basically professional mourners, and that's who these people were. They were actually being paid to weep. In verse 39 it says, And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And we can see here that their tone suddenly changed. It says in verse 40, And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, oh, praise God. When he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Praise the Lord. That just always really struck me for some reason. You know, he had just worked a wonderful miracle there, raising that little girl from the dead, and you know, you'd think that would be enough, but he cared so much that he told them, she's hungry, get her something to eat. Praise the Lord, we have a kind Savior. There are a lot of lessons to be learned in Mark chapter 5. We know that if we run to Jesus, like the man from the Gadarenes, he can deliver us. We fall at the feet of Jesus like Jairus, he can answer our prayers. And if you reach out to Jesus, like the woman with the issue of blood, he'll meet you there, and he will come into your life, and he will work miracles for you. The next portion of scripture I'd like to go to is Mark chapter 15. I'm sure most of us know this story well. They're about to hold a trial to condemn Jesus. And we start out in chapter 15 with the chief priests holding a consultation to try and figure out what can we do about this Jesus. Chapter 15, verse 1. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus, and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto him, Thou sayest it. So, and what Jesus was basically saying is, yep, you said it. Verse 3. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. Pilate was not accustomed to that. Ordinarily, if you were brought before Pilate and there were accusations against you, you would try to defend yourself. But Jesus didn't owe the evil spirits inside those people an answer. And so he said nothing. And he knew what he was doing. Verse 5. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. So it was a customary at that time for Rome, for Pilate to release a prisoner. And he thought, well, I'll offer him this Barabbas guy because he's a horrible person, he's a murderer, he caused insurrection, surely they won't want him. Verse 8, and the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. So basically they're saying, release a prisoner. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. Pilate was no dummy. He knew what was going on there. Verse 11. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them Can you imagine how shocked Pilate must have been when they asked for Barabbas? He was a murderer. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him! You know, crowds can be whipped up into a frenzy, and it's evil spirits that cause that sort of thing, and that's precisely what was happening here. In fact, I know my dad used to say that he believed that every evil spirit in the whole world had converged at this place at that point in history. So the crowds were moved. You know, ordinarily the crowds had great affection for Jesus. A lot of them really liked him, and he worked a lot of miracles. But at this point, they were actually asking for his crucifixion. And no doubt they were mad that Jesus had recently, instead of going to Pilate and the Roman establishment there to overthrow it, he didn't do that. Instead, he went to the temple and he overthrew the money changers. And I'm sure, you know, they thought, well, he was going to overthrow the Roman Empire, and that's not what he came to do. They were confused about that. So there are some people who were probably upset with him about that. Verse 14. Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him! They didn't even try to answer the question, because they couldn't. He hadn't done any evil. Instead of answering, he just said, Crucify him! Verse 15. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him to be crucified. And of course, that scourging was the 39 stripes that Jesus took. The Bible tells us that by those stripes we are healed. Praise the Lord. But obviously, Pilate here, he didn't want an insurrection on his hands. So, willing to content the people, he released Barabbas and gave the order for Jesus to be crucified. Verse 16 it says, And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews! So they were mocking Jesus. They obviously had some mocking spirits inside of them. And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him and bowing their knees worshipped him. Of course, we know that was a mocking worship. It was not a true and honorable worship. And when they smote him on the head with a reed, that was to drive down the thorny crown farther. And it must have been very painful. Verse 20, And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. Verse 21, And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. Now what that was used like an anesthetic when they mixed wine and myrrh, but Jesus refused it because he was going to bear all the pain they were going to inflict upon him. Verse 24. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, The King of the Jews. And with him they crucify two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Verse 29. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads, and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. There certainly were a lot of evil spirits there that day. It's those words, how demonic they are. Verse 30. Save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said unto themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And we know from other portions of the scripture that one of the thieves that was crucified beside him, he did actually repent. And we know that Jesus told him that that very day he would be in paradise with him. So that's a wonderful thing. Verse 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land unto the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, Behold, he calleth Elijah. And they got that wrong too. The people there obviously didn't have a lot of understanding, particularly at that point in time. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. And of course, we know that Jesus stayed on that cross willingly to bear the sins of all his elect. He could have come down at any moment. He could have summoned the angels and they would have let him down, but he didn't do that. Because this was all part of God's wonderful plan of salvation for us. Verse 37 tells us, And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. So what had just happened? They crucified Jesus. They'd hung him on that cross, his arms stretched out. And from that cross, Jesus reached out for us. He saw us there. We can reach back to that moment in faith. We can reach back in faith and reach out to Jesus and accept the salvation that he procured for us that day. Praise the Lord. He was reaching out for you. He was reaching out for me and for all who would be saved in the future. He saw all of us there. I'd like to go to one final portion of scripture before I close today. Isaiah chapter 53 says in verse 1 of Isaiah 53, Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. What the prophet Isaiah is prophesying here is what we just read about in Mark chapter 15. As we continue on here, you'll see that it's an almost perfect description. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Praise the Lord. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He carried the sin of each and every one of us, the sin and the iniquity. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Remember how he stood before Pilate and answered nothing to the accusations against him? Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He was stricken for us, so that we wouldn't have to be stricken. Verse 9. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Jesus had no sin whatsoever, not even one. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He saw us, each one of us, as he hung on our cross, as he reached out for us. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Praise the Lord. And that's exactly what he did. You know, when he hung on that cross, he saw us, he saw you, he saw me, and he was satisfied. He knew that what he was doing was worthwhile. He understood that, even though he had to bear greater pain than any man had ever endured before. He was willing to do that for us. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Praise the Lord. He hung on that cross for us. He reached out for us. If he was willing to do that, if he was willing to go to that cross and reach out, his back ripped open from the stripes, a bloody crown of thorns on his head, great pain, and he wouldn't even take the anesthetic they offered him. He wanted to bear all of that pain for you and for me. If he was willing to do that, if he was willing to reach out to us that day, then we should all be willing to reach out to him. We should all be willing to reach out to Jesus. Praise the Lord. We truly have a wonderful and merciful Savior. I can't even imagine all the pain he went through for us. But the Bible tells us he was satisfied. He knew what the result would be. Even all the way back there, he saw each one of us. Praise the Lord. Well, that is the message I've prepared for today. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee this day for thy great sacrifice for us. We thank thee that Jesus endured the pain of the cross for us. We thank thee that we can reach out to you even here. For we know that even today you are here with us. We thank thee, O God, for the pain and the suffering and the dying on the cross and the resurrection, Lord, by which you brought forth salvation, that we might be delivered. We thank thee, O God, and we ask that thy word would sink down deeply into our hearts, and let us never forget what you've done for us, O God. We thank thee, we praise thee, we worship thee, we extol thy mighty name. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'd like to sing one more chorus. I'm not sure what number it is in the book, but it's he was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore all our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Surely he bore all our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed unto prayer.